WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
It's time for the Rutherford Home Show here on News Radio WGNS with your hosts Dean Higby of South Branch Nursery and Dave Gober with F&B Mortgage. A focus on everything you need to know about your home, from buying to selling to improving your home's value. You'll get the latest on the Rutherford County real estate market, helpful lawn and garden tips, plus much more. Now your hosts of the Rutherford Home Show, Dave Gober and Dean Higby.
All right, welcome to the Rutherford Home Show. A less humid Saturday for sure. Probably a good day to get outside and turn on the radio and make sure you're listening to us for sure, but get outside and do some work. It's been pretty hot. We're here in studio with Dean, and we have a special guest this afternoon, Rob Mitchell, property assessor for Rutherford County, and we welcome him here. We're going to talk about a few things that affects, I guess, what we pay in property tax. But Dean, what do you think about the weather? Is that a good relief for you guys?
Yeah, of course, this is July the 8th. We do some reruns, so sometimes when we talk about weather, it might not make sense when doing a rerun. But July 8th, but July 4th, oh my gosh,
it was miserable.
Yeah, it just unbelievable. And then July 5th, the day after, and I'll tell you, our guys out there working in this every day, and all construction, you know, jobs and outside jobs, hats off. It is tough work, and stay cool. But this is a huge relief. It's hope it stays like this for several more days.
Where are we on rain right now?
I haven't checked that out. Really, we have to be above average after, you know, coming from, in January, February, March. Seems like we were living in the rainforest for a while. But, you know, all this rain, it's kind of spotty. We had guys working in down in Antioch yesterday and almost got struck by lightning. Had a huge storm there. But, you know, you go 5 miles down the road and didn't get a bit. So, pop-up showers everywhere, kind of typical summer weather. But unlike 2015 with the drought, I'll take a little rain here and there.
Absolutely. So talking today, we're going to go over a few things, but we didn't go over a lot last week on interest rates, and people are real concerned about that, especially going into you know, school's going to be starting back within a month. Going into the fall, and the Fed, it still has no signs of not raising the short-term interest rate. So I do think rates will go up, but they won't go up really fast. We're looking at probably, you know, 4.75 to 5%, I would say, throughout the fall. Still a great rate. Short-term rates, you know, are still good as well. So, but your long-term rates are better than your short-term rate, and anytime your long-term rate's better than your short-term rate, still a good rate. Problem is that we've all been used to the threes and the high threes and the low fours, and so as we approach 5%, and still historically we say it every day, every show, every year, we're still great rate to borrow long-term fixed mortgage. And when you can fix something 30 years in your life at a certain rate, I mean, that's a good thing. Nobody likes, I don't like variable rates. I don't sell arms. Those are just not things that, you know, an arm is something that is for the very savvy, because it adjusts and it can adjust quickly. I remember back when the debacle happened, when people were doing these 2/28 loans, and what that means, the first 2 years they were fixed and the last 28 were fluctuating. And I'm thinking, God, that don't make any sense. That's like being on a steady road and all of a sudden you're going off road for 28 years.
I've been on a roulette wheel.
Right. And but they would do like a 6.99% for the first 2 years, and it can adjust. And that's what threw this country in a downward spiral. It would adjust to 13-14%. Well, people's payments were $1,000 would go up to $2,000 within a month.
Why would they do that? I mean, is that more of the larger, you said that's for the it's savvy. A lot of the, is that for people trying to time things?
There's
or?
Two different. There's the savvy that can handle the adjustable interest rates, like that have the money that can bail out, that can turn it around, that they're just using other people's money at a short-term rate. That's the savvy. But these were to get people in homes that they couldn't afford. And that was the whole reason, to get more buyers qualified.
You had folks that were actually even doing interest-only mortgages.
Right, on the front end. And
which were really crazy.
Well, I mean, on a traditional FHA or loan, how many, when you first start your first payments, those are, for how many years are those kind of, how much goes towards the principal?
Well, something goes to the principal, but most of the interest is paid.
But not a lot, right?
They're
kind of interest heavy at the front load, right?
Absolutely. But in 5 years, you're not treading water. At least you can turn around and say, I've knocked 10 or 12, 15,000 off my balance, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I tell people. I had a guy call me wanting to do a cash out refinance because his house didn't appraise. So he said, well, I'm just going to go to my bank and do a HELOC. And I was like, I don't know if you want to do that because you're talking about $60,000, $70,000 on a HELOC. You'd be better off if you can to find another way to get that money than on an interest fluctuating interest rate, because the Fed is raising prime pretty consistently now. So you could be at 7% in 2 years on that $60,000. Today it's at 5%. Whereas if you were to refinance at 4.75% fixed rate on 30 years, you've got your money and you don't have that additional adjustable rate mortgage. And most people will not pay it off. They'll just pay what they have to pay. They're treading water.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to get to safety, you got to get to the bank. And the only way you do that is by making headway and paying on principal. So I disagreed with doing a HELOC to pay off, because they're paying off credit card debt. It's just a credit card on your house.
Yeah.
So you're going from revolving debt to revolving debt. The only advantage is it's a tax deduction because of the interest on your mortgage. That's the only advantage.
And that's only if you've got enough, if you've got enough to claim the deductible.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people will get into it and they'll fill the paperwork out and they don't have enough deductions to even take it.
Right.
They're still taking the standard deduction. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Just because you can deduct the interest doesn't mean that you've got enough deductions that it's better than your standard deduction.
Right. A lot of people still think deductions mean it's nothing.
Right off, right.
Or they in business, they think, well, that's a write-off for you. Write-off doesn't mean you get it for free. It just that amount is not counted as taxable. It's more of an expense. So write-offs are not, it's like somebody, oh, you can write this off. Well, it's not free. It just, it lowers your taxable base.
Got a trivia question for you.
Okay. I like that.
How much of your home is tax exempt?
How much of your home is tax exempt? I would say your property,
75% of the value of your residential home is exempt from property taxes.
Right.
And that's because it's you guys tax only at 20% of the...
You're only assessed at 25% of the value for taxation.
Yeah, if you go up to the courthouse and you look at values of land, a lot of people think that that's the appraisal value, and it's not, right?
Well, it's the value that was set at a particular date in time. It's not the, it may not be January 1st of a reappraisal year. It's pretty close. That's as close as you're ever going to get to it actually being market value, because January 1st is when, of 2018, is when we did our countywide equalization. We brought everything to market value.
But aren't we finding right now that a lot of people, which this is in the homeowner's interest, a lot of the tax amounts are less than market value.
Already, 6 months in, we're already, the market value is greater than the appraised value.
Yeah, because, I mean, here locally, it's, what, in the last 2 years, almost 20 to 30% increases in value?
Countywide, our median increase was about 31%. So if your home value went up 30%, when they reset the revenue neutral rate, you'll actually be paying less in property taxes, and you have more equity in your home. That's a win-win.
Yeah, and then Nashville, they just had that big debate about property tax increases to try to pay for unscrupulous spending, it seems like. But they voted that down, correct?
Well, in a revaluation year, you have a revenue neutral rate that adjusts down because your values have gone up, so that you can't have a windfall. That doesn't mean that the county commission or the city council can't say, well, we really need to have more money, and they could hold the current rate or something less than the current but greater than the revenue neutral rate, and it actually be a tax increase. You just have to publish and tell the public what the revenue neutral rate would be to develop the same amount of property taxes. They're not forced to adopt it, but they have to calculate one and publish it. And in Rutherford County last year, the countywide rate was 2.68, and the revenue neutral rate is $2.09 and 94 one-hundredths, so right at $2.10. So that's 58 cent drop.
Where does Rutherford County stand compared to neighboring counties?
We have the lowest property tax of any county in the mid-state.
That's pretty good.
And of the largest counties in the state, we have the lowest property tax rate.
And we're what, the fifth largest?
Fourth, fifth largest, depending on the projections were that we would pass
Hamilton
County sometime this year or next year. They had a growth rate because of some stuff. They found some extra land down there. I think they flattened out a mountaintop.
They didn't want to have the kind of competition, maybe.
No, they didn't want to get past. So I think they had a bump that they haven't seen in years because their population has been kind of stagnant down there for several years. And I think they had maybe an 8% bump.
Yeah, we're on like a 3% growth rate. I think 2017 was about 3%. I was just looking at some census things, which I got some interesting things to go over later on. But
yeah, we're going up about 10,000 folks a year net increase, and that was from the UT Institute.
Yeah, I got 9,474 was what this was based on. This is on the I guess it's all where you get your statistics, but that's close. I mean,
yeah,
9,400 is real close to 10,000. 2016 was 9,763. So it's saying right now we're at 317,157 people in the county. That's as of 2017.
And that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge because it wasn't, 4 years ago we didn't, 280,000.
Yeah. So I look at this as when I came to Murfreesboro in 1988. From Chattanooga,
mm-hmm.
To go to school. And I think back about, how I view Murfreesboro then to how I view it now. 1990, it was 118,570. But check this out. You think we're growing a lot right now. In 1990, we had a 41% growth rate.
Yeah.
And then 2010... 122% growth rate. Now we have a 3% growth rate.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and it's huge numbers. If you have a lower number, it's you add 10,000 people on top of just 10,000 people. That's 100%. You add 10,000 people on 100,000, it's just 10%.
Yeah, a lot of planning for infrastructure and
going to be the biggest challenge that Rutherford County and Murfreesboro has.
Infrastructure. All right, we're going to take our first break. You listen to the Rutherford Home Show. We'll be back in just a few. Hi, this is Dean Higby with Quality Land Management.
a division of South Branch Nursery that has been serving customers in the Middle Tennessee area since 1992. Quality Land Management is a leading property maintenance, landscape, design, and installation firm. We provide a full menu of residential and commercial application, including general lawn maintenance, tree and shrub trimming, irrigation, fertilizing, and outdoor pest control. Our team of talented designers will consult with you to create a landscape within your budget that will be the envy of your neighborhood. We offer our service at a very competitive price. Our experience is beyond compare. For a free estimate, please contact us at 893-4030 or visit us on the web at qualitylandmanagement.com.
At Toots, one of our most popular side items are our onion rings. We hand cut them from fresh onions and hand batter them in our proprietary batter to order when you order them. They're some of the best onion rings you've ever eaten. Come and try Toots today. This is Wade Hayes of Toots Restaurants. All of our food Toots is prepared fresh to order.
Good food and fun.
You're going to love it. Come eat with us at Toots Restaurants, Northwest Broad Street, Toots South on Church Street, and on Sam Ridley in Smyrna.
Good food and fun.
Hi, I'm Joey Allison, VP and commercial lender at First National Bank of Middle Tennessee's Gateway Boulevard branch. If you need help with financing residential and commercial construction, come see me and find out what Premier Community Banking is all about in Murfreesboro. Please visit us at 1708 Gateway Boulevard or online at fnbmt.com.
First National Bank of Middle Tennessee.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
If you're planning to buy a home, choose a professional that will look out for you. Ann Hoken Associates has a proven track record of helping guide clients through the home buying experience. Whether buying your first home, moving up, downsizing, or investing, Ann's team will help you do it right. When it's your time to buy or sell, just ask Ann.
This is Ann Hoke at Keller Williams Realty. I would love to personally talk with you. Call me today at 397-4024. Sell faster and buy smarter with Ann Hoken Associates.
All right, welcome back to the Rutherford Home Show. Hope you're having a great day. We're here with Rob Mitchell, property assessor, Rutherford County. Dean Higbee and myself having a good time talking about good stuff.
Good stuff. Yeah, we were looking at this this population and growth of...
Took 100 years to get to 50,000 people, and now we're adding that every five.
Yeah. We were looking back. Rob and I were looking back here from...
They said that... Oh, what was that stat I saw? That the world population is going to grow by like 3 billion people in 10 years or 12 years. It's like the biggest increase, and like it took so many years to get to where we are today, and we're going to do it in like a decade.
That's what we're kind of...
And we can't even feed them.
No.
So, yeah... Rob, you were looking for the 50,000 mark.
Right.
And that was, we hit that in 1960.
In 1960.
And then we have to correct something that I said earlier about this 122% growth rate. This, what we're looking at is, it goes for every 10-year segments up until 2010, and then I've got every year here. But so from basically 1990 to 2010, which is 20 years, we had a 122% growth rate, so that makes more sense.
Because I'm thinking,
how in the, there's no way that is correct, but you average that over 20 years, that's still what 4%.
Yeah,
which we're not there right now, but I can see why that boom was. Like I said, I moved here in '88, and it's never really slowed down except for...
You moved here and brought your friends. That's what it was.
Great reason. No, I moved here knowing about maybe two or three people, which is the fun of it. Because met a lot of people since then, and very good friendships and business relationships. Got two of them sitting in the studio with me right here.
I appreciate that. Well, you know, it's...
Thanks for being behind the mic.
It's a great place for people to live.
What's that?
I said, the two of you are here with you. I was like, well, thanks. Leave me out.
Now we had to get Philip Patrick. He's only named that on this show. But, so infrastructure challenges.
Yeah. You got to have them. You have to have roads to drive and water to get out to people. And, you know, the density that to make the developments is, as you guys know, it's going to be in PUDs.
Yep.
You know, most of the growth, if it's going to be inside of the city limits, they're going to be planned residential developments or planned unit developments, depending on the type of housing that you put into them. But that's the only way you can get the infrastructure into them is to do it that way. And then most of the time they request annexation into a municipality when they do it.
Yeah, I see that a lot up in Williamson County, which, you know, they use step systems.
Mm-hmm.
That is, when used to, you'd have to have a certain size lot to have it perk and have your septic tank. Now they were able to basically pump all your septic to one area, and you can basically get the density like you could in a lot of cities.
And what they're doing on some of the outlying older subdivisions there in Williamson County, they're requiring people to get on the sewer, but they're installing systems in the houses with the grinders and the slurries to pump it into the regular septic system. So that's how they're doing it over in Williamson County.
Yeah, we do it here too, I think, using step systems, which you have to have a large area.
Yeah, I mean, these aren't even steps.
They're doing it to go into the city,
right,
sewer?
Like over in the Metagreen subdivision over there, the older homes that were built in the early 60s, they were all on septic systems, and they're not in the city, but the county's requiring them to go onto the septic system. So they're having to put grinders in their yards to grind up. They're disconnecting their septic systems, and then they're pumping it into the city and doing it that way.
Yeah, I know where my mom lives in Chattanooga. She was one time in the county and, you know, has horses and, you know, like 5-6 acres, and she's one of these that didn't want the annexation. Of course, you know, it happened. But she never did hook to the sewer, which I think she should, but you still get charged for it even if you...
You get charged for it, in, you know. Well, if you get city water, you'll still get charged for the sewer even if you don't have it.
Right, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Here with CUD... I don't know how they work that. Do you know how they work that? With if an area gets annexed, do they just continue to provide a service for a period of time, or do they have to sell the lines in the system to City of Murfreesboro or Smyrna? How does that work?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I guess that goes along too with other utility companies that are in the city. We're still on Consolidated and out at on South Church Street.
Mm-hmm.
Most water in Murfreesboro is on Murfreesboro Water. But I know if you, you know, a lot of, because irrigation, if you go off your, you don't, if you do not have a well or a separate meter, if you have a separate irrigation meter, you will not be charged additional for sewer on that. But if you use your existing water meter, you know, tee off of that and do your irrigation, the water you're irrigating your yard, you'll pay sewer on that as
yeah.
well. Unless they've changed something where you could put a separate maybe gallon counter on your line going to your irrigation system and do the math backwards, but I don't think many people go
no,
to that length.
No, gosh, I'm sure there's some smart mathematician out there that can figure out how to do that.
Yeah. So, what are you looking at over there, Dave? Big houses.
Fastest population county. Growth, since y'all were talking about it, I thought I'd figure which county in Tennessee is growing the fastest.
Oh, it's definitely
it's between us and Williamson.
Yeah, but we're gonna find out when I get to Tennessee here.
when you get to Tennessee. So okay, so then in the news there was a property tax deal in Nashville where they, you know, come out with this, oh, there's certain people not paying their fair share of the big huge houses. In Nashville, these are the, you know, I'd say the bigger mansion ones, and it was perceived that, oh, they don't pay as much as the other people. what I saw the answer to the property, Davidson County property assessor, was, well, you know, as property values are going up, those large houses, I mean, I'm talking about several $1 million ones, they don't have the turnover and demand like the other houses. So they said it's nothing, it's not any like favoritism towards the big houses. It's more about being fair to the
value it's just of that. We're charged with bringing everything to what the market value is based on market sales.
And that's what they, the market sales in those price ranges.
They don't turn very often.
Yeah, there's only so many people can afford $4 million, $5 million houses.
Yeah. And, you know, they still pay more in raw tax dollars. But just like we were talking with a percent change, you can go up, you know, $100,000, $200,000 on a $1 million home, it's not as big an impact as it would be on a $500,000 home. You know, so, in, I mean, you get, the Davidson County's real issue was they hit commercial properties very, very hard in the downtown section and in the Gulch area. And they have not been able to sustain their values and appeal. And that's what's caused their shortage in their budget in Davidson County. They weren't able to justify the rates. They weren't able to prove the rates that they put on them. And the administrative law judges were knocking those rates down, which caused a hole. What'd you find for us, Dave?
Williamson County, from 2010 to 2017, population change plus 22.9%. 184,130 to 226,257.
That's what, 11 years?
Or, no, 7 years. Tennessee's population change during the same time was plus 5.7, so they've quadrupled it. We went from 6,355,882 in 2010 to 6,715,984. unemployment for Williamson County is 2.7%. Tennessee's is at 3.7%. So they grew pretty, I mean, that's a, what, 50,000 people?
Mm-hmm.
57,000 people in 10 years, or 7 years.
And what they've done over...
So that would be what? Keep going.
What they've done over there to address their infrastructure problem is they are setting up special school zones, not like the special school districts. They're setting up special assessment zones over there so that if you're in over there in off of 96, over in that big set of it, was it Westview or something like that over there?
West Haven.
They have a special assessment zone over there to pay for the schools and the infrastructure. So there's an extra tax rate that those properties over there are taxed at to go to pay for the school development in that area because of the population change. So they're addressing it a little bit different than we do here.
That's an average of 678 people a month.
To
Williamson County.
Williamson County.
That's crazy.
That's a lot.
Well, but look at what Nashville is now. It's, what, 100 people a week or something?
Yeah, they got a lot running. Got a lot of people moving to Davidson County.
Well, but
and a lot of those are moving other places.
How that
places.
Affects all the counties around it, I mean, that's kind of the anchor.
It is.
Of, well, that was brought to you by
of things, so,
and money.
Yeah, so that's, you know, there's a lot of residual distribution on the counties around Nashville.
It is.
I wonder what Rutherford County is.
I don't know. We're going to take a break. We're at the halftime mark. So we will be right back. Hope you stick around. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
No. Nothing compares to the excitement of moving into a brand new home, especially when it's an Old South home. There's no denying it. New homes are better. When it comes to your biggest investment, buy smart and buy new. With an Old South home, you have reassurance that everything in your home is brand new. There's a higher level of satisfaction when you live in an Old South home because buying your Old South home is a celebration. Whether it's your first home filled with children's laughter or the home you choose to retire in, your home is where you'll celebrate life. Discover what they mean when they say Old South built it. With everything from maintenance-free townhomes to all brick homes in every price range and over 20 communities in Middle Tennessee, you'll find one that's right for you. See new, touch new, live new, and know that when you get your keys to an Old South home, it's just the beginning of a relationship. So find your perfect home with Tennessee's number one home builder. Visit OldSouth.com for locations and more information. That's OldSouth.com. Old South built it. Built new, built for you, built for life.
This is Josh at South Branch Nursery, a full-service, one-stop garden center open to everyone. We have a combined 10.5 acres with great plant material, mulches, landscape stones, and lawn decor. Here at South Branch Nursery, we specialize in hard-to-find trees, shrubs, perennials, annuals, and edibles. Call us at 893-4030 to talk to one of our staff. We also have a full line of bagged and bulk soils, mulches, and rock, and even offer to deliver any of our products. Our friendly, knowledgeable staff is always glad to help you create the lawn and landscape you've always wanted and assist you with your outdoor projects. We're open 7 days a week, and we're always online at southbranchnursery.com. Our landscape department is well-trained in design and installation of landscape, irrigation, and lighting. With 17 years' experience, we also design and install hardscapes like patios, walkways, and aquascapes. And once the work is done, our sister company, Quality Land Management, can help you maintain your landscape, whether it be commercial or residential. This is Josh inviting you to come see our South Church Street location just off I-24 past Indian Hills Golf Course. Or give us a call at 893-4030. We also have two new locations in Brentwood and Franklin.
Hi, this is Wade Hayes of Toots Good Food and Fun Restaurant. And being a business that's been here for over 30 years, we're a small family-run, small business that truly believes that everyone needs to get out, do their homework, and vote. This is a very important election year, and from all of us at Toots, please do your duty and vote this year. Toots Restaurants, Broad Street at Medical Center Parkway, on Church Street at Veterans Parkway, or on Sam Ridley Parkway in Smyrna.
Are you planning to buy or sell a home? Put your confidence and trust in the real estate team at Ann Hoken Associates Keller Williams. Ann's passion for putting the client first has placed her among the top 10 real estate agents in Middle Tennessee. Call 397-4024 and ask Ann how to sell faster and buy smarter.
This is Ann with Ann Hoken Associates Keller Williams. Call us today at 397-4024 for a remarkable experience with exceptional results.
Welcome back to the Rutherford Home Show. Hope everybody's having a great day, good weekend. Probably a good time to get out and plant something in the day before the rain hits.
Yeah, great time. Right now, crepe myrtles is, fall is a great time to plant because of that's more along the lines of cooler temperatures, water, things like that. But certain plants like crepe myrtles and say even container magnolias, ornamental grasses, the things that love the heat, this is a good time to plant them. They will go ahead and get established going into a cold season. One of the drawbacks of planting plants like that in the fall is if we have a hard winter, which last winter wasn't really hard except for a couple few days, but one, we got down to 7 degrees and it did not get above freezing for several days, and that's when you tend to lose a lot of plants that we call them, borderline hardy plants that, typically are not zoned for here, but we can grow them here. And every once in a while, nature will bring that into check, and you'll lose some things like that. But does that outweigh the, you know, advantages of getting away with it for maybe 10, 15 years and enjoying it than to not do it? You know, it's all in the eye of the beholder. So we have, you know, where we are right here in Murfreesboro, Middle Tennessee, we can have almost, you know, some, we have a very large diversified range of plants that will grow here that won't grow, you know, 150 miles north, south, even, you know, sometimes west. So those are the plants. And right now is a great time to hit garden centers, especially South Branch. We've got, you know, with annual flowers, yeah, they go away when the frost hits, but we've still got many, many warm days and summer and things to enjoy. But all of our annuals are 50% off, and hanging baskets, things like that. So you can take advantage of those savings and still get the enjoyment out of it. So a lot of hydrangeas. We have hydrangeas, a lot of sales going on right now, because this is a time when we try to move things out to gear back up for fall.
My hydrangeas never get large.
Well, there are varieties that will not. They get bigger than a, do you know what variety it is?
I don't know.
Just a hydrangea, huh?
It's a blue hydrangea, but it dies down to the ground every year, and it doesn't come out more than about maybe 2 feet.
Well,
that's it.
That's pretty good. If that's the variety it's supposed to be, then you're good. If it's not, like Nico Blue, usually get, you know, up to 4 feet, something like that, can get larger. But there's so many hydrangeas out there. There's one called Little Tough Stuff. There's a peewee hydrangea. You know, there's a lot of plants that are, because now, especially with people's yards not being as big, and say in metropolitan areas and courtyards, you don't want plants that you can only handle a certain size. So those plants have been sought after to be dwarfs. So there's a big demand for dwarf plants.
We were up in Kennebunkport about probably 5 years ago, and they had hydrangeas up there that look like small trees.
Oh, yeah. We actually sell a tree form hydrangea, which they're grafted to grow that way. But, if you, like oak leaf hydrangea, they can get 8-10 feet tall. But it's all about how you cut them back, too, in the wintertime when they're dormant. And you got to be careful when you prune a hydrangea. Sometimes they bloom on the previous year's growth, and if you accidentally trim it, it won't bloom that year. So
what about empress trees?
What type tree?
Empress.
You know what?
Yeah, I know. It's a Chinese tree of some kind. It has some beautiful flowers on it. I think it's
maybe it's a fringe tree.
I think it's a royal empress tree or something like that. Has huge leaves on it that look like they're, I don't know, 9-10 inches large.
You know, Rob, there's so many plants.
Oh, they're from all over the place. I just wanted something. They said it grows 5 feet a year, which which was attractive.
Don't
to
plant
me.
It next to your house.
No, I want to plant it next to the neighbor's house.
There you go. I got a quick fact for you. 2018 population is 321,230 people. Projected for 2023, which is 5 years, 349,860. That's about 16 people a day moving to the county.
Wow.
16 people a day. So, obviously, times 30 would be 477 people. Times 12 would be 5,726 people a year. That's a lot more cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we go back to our traffic. You know, that Broadway intersection that they've done now is just phenomenal. I mean, with it being completed and full functional, that thing is a ease to go through. That was, the busiest intersection in the state of Tennessee at one time.
Yeah.
Broad Street and Memorial.
I think the next busiest is at it's Medical Center Parkway and Memorial.
Yeah.
It moved it down one.
Yeah. That's crazy. But, you know, with Medical Center and with the completion of the Rutherford and the Tennessee Northfield Boulevard, all that going around the city, there's been a lot of good planning on that end. I think our next congestion would be the Casey Lane and the Thompson Lane area. Going out toward where I live, out towards Siegel, that Thompson Lane intersection on Broad Street can get really backed up.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I think there's plans to widen that, isn't there?
There is plans to widen it, but they put off widening that until they got Cherry Lane widened. And now with the Sazerac Distillery going in, they're wanting to do...
So the Cherry Lane, when is that going to take it? What are they working on that one?
They're supposed to start on that by 2020.
Because, see, that's where I live. It's not going to affect me as far as my property, but it's going to cut through some people's property, right?
Yeah.
So we call that eminent domain or whatever?
Yep.
Well, it's just like when they did Joby Jackson, you know, from the interstate, and they changed Barfield Road to Veterans, and Veterans does, I guess, kind of take away a little bit of Kaysen Lane. I mean, it's a little further out, but like Rutherford Boulevard, this circle there, but... when they did the Joby Jackson, I think it's Stevens Bend is the name of the subdivision.
That's where I lived there before.
Yeah, and we had some, you know, customers that they were quite upset about it. But now, after it was all said and done, if you weren't from here, you would never know that it really happened. But
well, you have different queue lines. If you've ever gone toward Williamson County on 840 at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The traffic starts queuing up, backing up onto the interstate, onto 840, getting off at Veterans to exit and head to all the subdivisions back over that way through Blackman and then back around.
I think that's our next big area for growth is Veterans Parkway.
Yeah.
I think like in the
business
world.
Well, yeah, if you drive down through there, there's a lot of farms. Well,
I know that side of town, a lot of people are moving that way business-wise. I mean, being in a theater business, I would put a nice theater right there off the interstate and that interchange.
Well, what you see out there, you see a lot of subdivisions, but you don't see a lot of commercial yet over through that way to provide the services to the folks that are going to be out over that way.
I bet there's a Dollar General in the vicinity. We talk about that a lot.
I bet you pass three.
On the way home.
Well, you know, I've got one on Thompson Lane, which is phenomenal, right? When you pull off right there. You're going down towards Siegel and River Bend there. And then when I go to that three-way stop, when I live down the road from Atlanta, which is right down my street, there's a Dollar General right there. So they got me going either way. I got a Dollar General in my face. That's pretty good planning. I think Walgreens is doing the same thing now that they bought out Rite Aid. They're doing the same type thing. They're trying to put a Walgreens on every corner because, you know, let's get real. You can go to Walgreens. I'd rather go into Walgreens or a Dollar General than drive into the big stores like Walmart and go to the mall, to be honest with you. I
mean, yeah, if you're going to grab a few.
Isn't it odd how, as far as retail and stuff goes, it's almost like we're coming back around to the way it was 100 years ago?
Besides, it's instead of catalogs, it's the internet now. And we were talking about that off the air.
We're using local little stores.
Yeah.
I think we're going to the little quick stops and the, you know, get your goods and go home and not going through the, I mean, how many times, I mean, have you been to the mall and walked around? Now, when Hickory Hollow was in full, man, we'd go every weekend and walk 4 hours. And you know what I'm saying? Go to the arcade game and or the game room and go to the movie and all that. But people just don't walk the malls anymore. They just want to go in and get what they need and go home and enjoy their, and you know what? This goes back to Dean, it's your backyard landscape and having your outdoor paradise. People want to do more things in that area than they do about.
I think and then they can order a lot. The internet, I mean, look at Amazon. Who would have thought? Look at the growth of that business. I mean, he's like one of the. What's his name? Benzos?
Benzos.
He surpassed. I mean, his wealth is.
But, you know, we've got some local pool supply stores here, which is great. But, I mean, I go on Amazon, order that robot that cleans your pool.
Mm-hmm.
And I ordered a storage cabinet. I mean, if I can put that in there and my pool cover in, and it's delivered and like that. I don't have to go worry about getting a truck.
That goes against what you just said about people going to local businesses.
Local businesses for smaller items, like your groceries or your condiments, things like that. You don't go, I mean.
But are you talking about Kroger being a local business?
Well, it's not local, but I mean, what I'm trying to say is that your big items that you can go to a mall and buy, like people buying clothes and suits offline now, they're not going to try on like they used to. Clothing stores are not, you know, I just think it's all changing to the fact that where you buy your purchase items, like you would buy at a mall, you're buying it online.
Mm-hmm.
And that will go when we're going to take our last break here. We can segue into my question with Rob about big tracts of land for commercial uses. Yep.
Hi, this is Dean Higby with Quality Land Management, a division of South Branch Nursery that has been serving customers in the Middle Tennessee area since 1992. Quality Land Management is a leading property maintenance, landscape, design, and installation firm. We provide a full menu of residential and commercial application, including general lawn maintenance, tree and shrub trimming, irrigation, fertilizing, and outdoor pest control. Our team of talented designers will consult with you to create a landscape within your budget that will be the envy of your neighborhood. We offer our service at a very competitive price. Our experience is beyond compare. For a free estimate, please contact us at 893-4030 or visit us on the web at qualitylandmanagement.com.
Toots. Toots has been in business on Broad Street for 32 years. One of our most popular items back then and even now is our fried dill pickle chips. Nobody does fried pickles like Toots Restaurant. Come get some today. This is Wade Hayes of Toots Restaurants. All of our food Toots is prepared fresh to order.
Good food and fun.
You're going to love it. Come eat with us at Toots Restaurants. Northwest Broad Street, Toots South on Church Street, and on Sam Ridley in Smyrna.
Good food and fun.
Hello, I'm Colleen Clary with First National Bank of Middle Tennessee's Memorial Boulevard location across from the VA Hospital. Since 1874, we have been an independently owned community bank. We understand the challenges of managing your finances in today's economy. We recommend services and work to develop a financial goal tailored to fit your needs. Come see us at 3427 Memorial Boulevard or online at fnbmt.com. Member FDIC Equal Housing Lender.
If you're planning to buy a home, choose a professional that will look out for you. Ann Hoke & Associates has a proven track record of helping guide clients through the home buying experience. Whether buying your first home, moving up, downsizing, or investing, Ann's team will help you do it right. When it's your time to buy or sell, just ask Ann.
This is Ann Hoke at Keller Williams Realty. I would love to personally talk with you. Call me today at 397-4024. Sell faster and buy smarter with Ann Hoke & Associates.
All right, welcome back to the Rutherford Home Show. Thanks for joining us. Got a few minutes left here. Dave has exited the studio.
Dave has left the building.
Yep. Going to work. So before our break, we were talking about, you know, kind of how shopping has changed and the internet has grown and you know, I don't do a whole lot of internet shopping personally, but I can see the benefits of it, and I can see the drawbacks. But I did see, like you mentioned earlier, the Gulch and these high-rise condos where people are living in, you know, highly dense areas in, say, downtown Nashville. They're having a huge problem with so many people are ordering off the internet. They're having to make accommodations to store all the packages for the homeowners. Yeah. And say some of them, you know, order stuff and they're on vacation and where are they can't just put it in the hall and let it sit there, you know, but it's kind of interesting how something benefits one and does not benefit the other. But one thing that I've, you know, noticed and, have had discussions with people in real estate was you know, the large tracts of land for commercial use, 5, 10, 15 acres that usually a grocery store or like a, say, a Lowe's or a TJ Maxx, something like that, would be needed for, is, you know, the values of those properties are not what they were 10 years ago because the demand has dropped due to the online shopping.
Yeah, a 15-acre tract, for large developments, you're going to need something larger than 15 acres. The demand for Class A office space, we've just now filled up, we pretty much filled up the avenue. I think they've got developments in the pipelines for all, but I think there's just one last tract that the city has to sell. And they're looking, all right, where's the next large tract of land that we have that we can prep and we can develop for either office space, warehouse space. You have to look toward ease of access, closeness to amenities. We've got a lot of interstate space, but we don't have interstate space that's in a proximity to the utility access so much. And that's, I guess I'd go Joby Jackson south toward, or east, southeast over, you know, toward Coffee County down that way.
You know, and one thing, like looking back at, well, but back on the question of, you know, on high traffic roads, we're typically grocery stores and things, which we're always going to need that. But right now, as we sit, you know, Walmart's got every corner of the county pretty much covered. Lowe's and Home Depot, I really don't see them adding another location anytime soon. You take out the, if you look at the avenues, like with the Oaks, that area there, that was a prime, nice development.
Mm-hmm.
Those areas, you would have never thought we're going to be losing businesses out of those.
Yep.
But a lot of it is due to online shopping, right?
Yeah.
And so as out parcels and corner lots and small strip mall type spaces are...
Yeah, those are doing well. Those are strong.
Those are doing great. But the big box anchor type places, at some point I think this is all going to come full circle. And
if you look back to the catalog showroom aspect of things, if you had a hybrid of that, like service merchandise used to be, service merchandise could have been the Amazon.
Or Sears.
You know, with their catalog, you order from the catalog and they ship it out. There are so many examples of retail companies that had an idea, but they forgot how to innovate. And just like with your business, you're a business person. If you get locked into the same way of doing stuff over and over, and when you stop looking for ways to innovate, then you start to fall behind. Because it's like pushing a wagon uphill. It takes effort to push the wagon uphill and to keep pushing it uphill. And just when you think you've got as far as you want to go and you can just stop and maintain, you're going to have to keep the effort going just to keep the wagon from rolling back over top of you on its way going back downhill.
Well, and I think you see like Kroger and other companies doing the where you can order your groceries and then pull up and have them brought to you. That's one way they're trying to answer it. But, you know, groceries, you can't really send eggs and milk FedEx. But now they have these delivery.
But 100 years ago, you'd call into the grocery store up here on the square in Murfreesboro. You'd call in your order, and you'd tell the grocer what you wanted, and then they'd pull the cars up on the outside, and somebody would bring it out to your car.
Well, and another thing, I remember as a kid, remember bag boys when they used to, and now they're wanting to get rid of this plastic bags in some states and go back to the paper.
Yeah.
And they would take it out and put it in the car for
put
you.
Put it in for you.
But as time got on and, you know, profits, they said, well, we could cut that part out and save save labor. Now we have self-checkouts, you know, where you're checking your...
Yeah, I hate
the
that.
First time I saw that, I was like, this is crazy. But then if you've got four or five items, it, you know, it's not that big of a deal except for when something goes wrong.
Well, you ought to ask for a discount because you're working for them at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I want to check myself out, I'll order it and have it shipped to me.
But I think I read where Walmart's trying to do that delivery online as well.
Yeah, they're trying to compete with Amazon because Amazon's taking away a lot of their business.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you look back, who would have thought back in the day that Sears or JCPenney's and Kmart. And
Montgomery Ward.
Yeah.
W.T. Grant. Zayers.
Yeah.
Walgreens.
Walgreens. BK. No, Woolworths, I think.
Yeah, Woolworths.
Yeah, Walgreens is doing good. Yeah.
Kresge.
Yeah.
The old Kresge's. I mean, there's a ton of stores that, if you look at it, you know, you remember going there. Giant food stores. Used to have those. They're gone. Coon's Big K.
Well, too, a lot of places, just like with Walgreens and Rite Aid, so many companies are merging and buying out other businesses. I remember Red Food.
Mm-hmm.
Was a grocery, then Bilo, I think, and then we don't have a Bilo here anymore.
No.
But then Publix tried to come in the market, and I like Publix, but
yeah. And Publix started with the taking the groceries out for you, you know, offering to take them out. Now, I don't know. I always take.
I think
myself.
They still will if you ask them.
Well, they'll ask you. They'll say, "Let me take these out for you," and I have to tell them no.
Yeah, now you don't want.
You know, no, that's okay. I've got a way I have to load them into the back of my car.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yep, changes. But, okay, like in your office, though, you're always trying to think of more efficient ways, and the more efficient our government can be, the better it is for us as taxpayers. Because sometimes, I think like in Nashville, sometimes they have to look at, maybe they don't have a revenue problem, maybe they have a spending problem. And
exactly.
So, you know, just like our federal government, a lot of times if they were a little bit more efficient on spending, maybe we wouldn't have to keep putting the burden on, you know, the people.
Well, government has to try to innovate, and there has to be incentives for it. There are no incentives for appointed directors in government positions. They're appointed. There's no incentive for them to
be efficient,
to initiate change. When you're elected, your incentive to initiate change is to continue to be able to serve.
Well, okay, I know like water departments, they put meters on that cut out having to send a guy to pop the thing open and mm-hmm. write down. That's pretty smart. You guys have made quite a few changes as far as
what I'm researching now. I don't know if the product exists, but we should. I'd love to have a tool out there where we could take a photograph of a house and it would automatically calculate out the square footage.
Yeah, 3D imaging or something.
Yeah. You take a picture of it, boom, it tells you the square footage and makes a floor plan. That would be great.
Yeah, and landscaping, I'd like to be able to take. Of course, there are some software things out there. It's just finding the ones that that work the best. But I know what you're saying. Well, I think, like, you know, with the satellite imaging and things these days, there's a lot of ways to do it. And I know you guys have.
Well, a lot of the stuff, like in your industry, they'll create things because there's profit involved in it. But government doesn't tend to look for stuff like that. So I would, you know, I'd come to you and I'd say, Dean, what do you have that you use? And would it work for?
Yeah, you don't reinvent the wheel.
No, don't reinvent the wheel.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on, Rob, as always. We appreciate what you do for your position as Rutherford County Property Assessor. And we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening to the Rutherford Home Show. Everybody have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Are we gonna do what they say can be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just like no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal.
all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down.